Amid new agreements, peace looks more real for Bosnia-Herzegovina. Senate moves to hold Whitewater hearings. Shuttle Columbia glides home to a Florida airstrip. Good Friday morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Could peace be at hand in Bosnia? Today in Washington, as President Clinton looked on, Croat and Muslim leaders signed papers immediately sealing their federation within non-Serb parts of Bosnia and later in principle with independent Croatia.
The agreements signed today offer one of the first clear signals that parties to this conflict are willing to end the violence and begin a process of reconstruction. And it is the hope of all present today that the Serbs will join in this process toward peace as well.
President Tudjman signed for Croatia.
We look to the United States and the international community to assist us in these burdens so that the harsh conditions under which our citizens continue to suffer can be alleviated.
Bosnia's Muslim president, Izetbegovic, spoke through a translator.
Fair peace means that our country will keep its borders and the villages and the cities from which our people have been expelled will be able to resettle the refugees. Those who are responsible for war crimes will have to be brought to justice.
Yesterday, Muslims and Serbs signed an agreement effectively lifting the siege of Sarajevo. Britain's Prime Minister John Major was visiting his troops in Bosnia today, also upbeat on the future.
Arms are being gathered together, the sides are being separated, and there's clearly a much better chance for permanent peace than anyone could have imagined even 3 weeks ago.
On the downside, though, Serb officials have turned down a string of UN requests for a passage of aid convoys across Serb siege lines around the Muslim enclave of Maglaj. Coming soon to Capitol Hill, Whitewater hearings. Rob Armstrong reports.
The unanimous Senate vote sets the stage for hearings Republicans have been clamoring for weeks. New York Republican Alphonse D'Amato.
I'm pleased that the Whitewaters have finally parted and the Senate can pursue its march for the truth.
But the hearings will not begin immediately. Top Senate leaders will meet to determine a timetable with very specific restraints. Majority Leader George Mitchell said the compromise satisfies his concerns.
This is the responsible way to deal with this matter. This is the way to have the hearings at a time and under conditions and circumstances which will not interfere with the special counsel's investigation.
Sources say the White House was not consulted about specifics of the resolution, although they say people close to the president had become convinced that it would be impossible to forestall a congressional inquiry. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Senior presidential aide George Stephanopoulos has now been subpoenaed before the Whitewater grand jury. The New York Times reports that in 1978, shortly before her husband was first elected as governor of Arkansas, Hillary Rodham Clinton made a $100,000 killing in the commodities market. The report says she relied on the advice of a well-connected lawyer for the state-regulated Tyson Foods empire. The Wall Street Journal reports the SEC is investigating an Arkansas investors group once headed by White House aide Patsy Thomason in connection with a suspicious surge in stock buying. The inquiry reportedly centers on 1992 trading in an Alaska fishery company shortly before it was bought by Tyson Foods. Korea has lashed out at criticism from the International Atomic Energy Agency, saying it will respond to further pressure with a resolute measure. The IAEA says Pyongyang frustrated its recent inspection trip. The U.S. is worried about two ballistic missiles on North Korean drawing boards with ranges beyond 1,000 kilometers. CIA Director James Woolsey raised the issue at a Washington symposium.
These two, if they're developed and flight tested, could put at risk all of Northeast Asia, Southeast Asia, and the Pacific area, and if exported to the Middle East, could threaten Europe as well.
Woolsey also warned of Iran's attempts to buy or develop nuclear weapons. Former President Reagan has jumped into the Virginia Senate race with a letter accusing his former aide and now GOP primary candidate Oliver North of lying about the Iran-Contra affair. North said in a recent CBS News interview that Mr. Reagan told him to stonewall Congress about the Arms for Hostages scandal, which Mr. Reagan called an outrageous statement. North himself denied even saying it.
I never said that Ronald Reagan asked me to mislead anybody about anything in Iran-Contra. That's a matter of record, and those of you in the media who are supposed to be the guardians of truth know that.
The Reagan letter stopped short of endorsing North's GOP primary foe, former Reagan budget director Jim Miller. Early this morning, a twin-engine plane chartered to pick up North crashed on landing in Winchester, Virginia. One man described as a close friend of the candidate was killed. Top South African police generals reportedly have been implicated in a corruption probe for supplying weapons to members of the Zulu-based Inkatha Freedom Party. Nelson Mandela's African National Congress has blamed a shadowy third force for fomenting political violence in which nearly 15,000 people have been killed. President Clinton is expected soon to sign an executive order that significantly scales back the government's penchant for putting secret stamps on its papers. The New York Times reports the new policy would declassify tens of millions of present files and put them in a database for public inspection. The Clinton administration is pushing for the so-called Clipper chip, which, if installed in future computers, would enable federal investigators to read encrypted electronic mail and computer files. Barry Bagnato says that's an issue today on Capitol Hill.
Excited about the possibilities, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies want to use the information superhighway to catch up to criminals. Trying to slow them down, a Senate subcommittee today will raise concerns about using advanced technologies for information gathering and wiretaps. Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy heads the panel.
I'm perfectly willing to work with the FBI to help them maintain their normal law enforcement functions, but I'm not going to throw everybody's sense of privacy out the window to do it.
Companies thinking of buying the latest American-made computers and services will think twice if they believe the FBI has a key to get in. Attorney General Janet Reno argues there are safeguards.
The constitutional protections would not in any way be hampered.
But FBI Director Louis Free will be asked today for specific assurances that Uncle Sam won't become Big Brother. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
In California, the NIMBY, or Not In My Backyard, movement has grown to include serial rapists. As KCBS newsman Bob Melrose reports, that's especially true in one small town in the northeast corner of the state.
The population of Alturas is 3,000. Several hundred turned out to hold a candlelight vigil to protest the placing of Melvin Carter at a conservation camp nearby. Marnie Atkins Hearn was one of many in the crowd.
I'm not going to stand still. I'm going to speak up and speak my mind because this is the United States of America. And the criminals should not have rights. If you rape, if you murder, if you steal, you have no rights no longer. I am a person. I have rights.
Carter is being closely watched and cannot leave the camp without an escort. He pleaded guilty to 23 counts of rape, his victims mostly college students from the San Francisco Bay Area. Bob Melrose for CBS News, Alturas, California.
After a 13-day science mission, Space Shuttle Columbia returned to Florida's Kennedy Space Center 2 hours ago.
Wheel stop, Houston.
Roger, wheel stop, John. Welcome home. Thanks for a great job and a fantastic 2 weeks of microgravity research.
Overseas, the dollar is higher. London gold is up $2.45. And on Wall Street, the Dow is off a fraction at 3864.56. It's 10 past the hour.